Our scripture reading this morning will be John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Not that which is in your bulletin, but the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. I'll read the first and the unnumbered verses, and we ask you to join together reading the even, and let's stand as we read the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John.
And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
He came to his own, and his own received him not.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for sending your only begotten Son into this world to take our sin and to take, Lord, our failures and to die in our place. And Lord, we just pray that today as we look at the Word and as we study the Word together, that we'll come to a deeper appreciation of your love for us and that which was accomplished through your sending your Son to die for our sins and to take our place. And so, Lord, minister to us now. Open our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've begun a new book in the Bible. This week, we start the Gospel according to John. And so we encourage you to read it over. We'll be taking tonight the first couple of chapters and read them over. Join with us tonight as we gather to study the Word and to grow in our understanding of God's purpose and God's plan for our lives. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the first chapter of John, verse 18, where John tells us, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So that seeing Jesus, according to the scripture, is tantamount to seeing God. Knowing Jesus is the equivalent of knowing God. When Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, just show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied," Jesus said, "Have I been so long a time with you? Haven't you seen me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How is it that you say, 'Show us the Father'? Believe thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." So John tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him, there was not anything made that was made. So he tells us that the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul declared to the Colossians that he was the image of the invisible God. To the Hebrews, it was written that he was appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And that is why the scriptures tell us that if you have seen Jesus, you have seen God. As when Jesus said to Philip, who said, "Lord, just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." He said, "Philip, have I been so long a time with you? Haven't you seen me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." God does exist. And yet people have such skewed concepts and ideas about God. It was necessary for God to reveal himself to us, and that is why we have the Bible. It is God's revelation of himself unto man. The Bible tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, the earth shows his handiwork, and day unto day they speak unto us. Night unto night their voice goes forth. There is not a speech nor a language where their voice is not heard. But yet the heavens, though they declare the glory of God, and the earth might show his handiwork, yet people have such different views of God. And they read the heavens and they read the handiwork of God in different ways, so that men are often confused as to God and just what he indeed is like. There is a universal belief in God. All men believe in God. You say, "Wait a minute, I'm an atheist." No, you're not an atheist. It's when you say that, you're just saying, "I don't believe in the God that is revealed in the Bible." But every man has a God, whether or not he does believe in the true and the living God or not. Your God is the master passion of your life. That is a man's God. Every man has a God, even that man who denies his belief in God. But whatever it is, the controlling master passion of your life, that is your God. Because of man's fallen nature, man has created a lot of false concepts concerning God. The gods of the Greeks and of the Romans, those gods of their mythology, were represented as being lustful, angry, and in unfair competition with man. Among the primitive tribes, there was often the worship of nature. They would worship the full moon or the trees or some other inanimate objects. But they worshiped a god, though they did not have a true understanding of God, yet they believed in a god and worshiped their gods. Man's concepts of God are usually premised on the idea that if I were God, this is where I would live. This is how I would react. This is what I would be like if I were God. And so really it is a man's God is often just a magnifying of himself to immensity, and this is what I would be, this is what I would be like. This is actually what is behind that subtle question of, it is interesting that God does not seek to answer the questions of why. We so often hear questions by men saying, well, why would God do that? Or why did God allow this to happen? And behind that, why about God is really a subtle kind of a declaration that if I were God, I would not have done that. I would have done it differently. And I'm sort of exalting my ideas above the concepts of God. If I were God, this is how I would have handled that. This is what I would have done. But God declares in Isaiah that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The heavens are infinitely higher than the earth, and so God's ways are infinitely higher than our ways and our thoughts. Thus, man who makes his own idea of God is only projecting himself out to immensity, and then he worships himself magnified. To the savage Indian living in the green-held jungles of Bolivia, living there half naked in the rains and in the forest, as he sees these tall, strong trees seem to be impervious to the rain and to the cold and to the wind, he thinks, if I were God, I would live in that tree. And I wouldn't be shivering here in the cold and in this rain. And so he worships the tree as God. But his own concept of God, his own idea that he has created. As Paul tells us, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on mankind, for he said, when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they actually became fools, because they were worshiping and serving the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And so they changed the glory of an incorruptible God and made it like unto a corruptible man, birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And therefore God gave them over to the uncleanness because of the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. So man began to worship idols, some of them very grotesque, and they represented their concepts of God. The planets were worshipped, the sun, the moon, the constellations. But man has a drive to worship, and he must worship something. In Deuteronomy 4:19, God said, lift up your eyes unto heaven, lest you lift up your eyes unto heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, even the hosts of heaven, and you should be driven to worship them and to serve them. Looking at creation, looking at the universe, there is that drive to worship because I am convinced that it doesn't just exist, but it exists by creative acts of God. And if he can create this universe, he has to be awfully big. And so I am worshiping often the creature, however, rather than the creator. And that is irrational. To look at a beautiful flower and to smell it, say it's a rose, and you just put your nose in it and take a deep breath and you say, ooh, that's God. No, fool, that's not God. That's a rose. And it's created by God. It's beautiful. It's something to enjoy, but it's created by God. And so you see, it's irrational to stop and to worship the creature rather than the creator, which so many people do. They don't worship the true and the living God, but they worship the creation of God. But you say, how can I know what God is truly like? Job's friend Zophar asked him, can you by searching find out God? Can you discover the Almighty perfectly? Job tells of his own perplexity in seeking to understand God. He declares, he removes the mountains. He shakes the earth out of her place. He spreads out the heavens and he treads on the waves. He made Arcturus and Orion and the Pleiades. He does things beyond my understanding. He passes by me and I cannot see him. And if he decides to take away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? How can I be sure that the Bible, the God of the Bible, is the true and the living God? There are so many religions and so many different concepts of God in these different religions. So many churches. How do I know which one is right? God spoke to the prophet Isaiah concerning himself in chapters 41 through 46. And I would recommend that this afternoon, when you go home, open up to the book of Isaiah and read God's declarations of himself there in these chapters 41 through 46. Just giving a brief analysis of portions of these chapters, God spoke to Isaiah and said, you are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you might know and believe me and understand that I am God, and before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. Before time ever existed, I was, and none can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who can stop it? I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God beside me, for I am the Lord that created the heavens. I am the God that formed the earth and made it. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I am God, and I have declared the end from the beginning, and from ancient times I have told you things that have not yet been done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I have spoken it, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will do it. Here God talks about proving himself that he is God by speaking in advance of things that would happen before they would ever happen, so that when they did happen, you would know that God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows the future and can tell you things that have not yet transpired, but you can be sure they will transpire. He has spoken through Isaiah concerning the man who would rise in the future, whose name would be Cyrus. He said that you might know that I am God. I have called you by your name. I have surnamed you, though you do not know me. He said that this was even before he named him Cyrus, before actually Cyrus was ever born, 171 years before Cyrus conquered Babylon, he predicted that the name of the conqueror of Babylon would be Cyrus. And he said, I have named you that you might know that I am God and there is none like me. And 173 years later, this fellow Cyrus conquered the city of Babylon. And just as he was described by God, and God called him by his name long before he ever existed, that he might know that he was the true and the living God of Israel. God called the false prophets to duplicate. Tell us something before it happens, so that when it does happen, we'll be astounded, we'll be amazed. And he said, prove your case, saith the Lord. Put forth your strong arguments, saith the king of Jacob. Let them produce and show what's going to happen. Let them show where in the past they told us things that were going to happen that have now happened, that we can see and know that you are truly God's. Do something good or evil that it might amaze us and prove that you are true God's. Actually, he said, you are nothing. And the work is nothing. It is an abomination, and so are those who choose you. God promised that he would send his son into the world that he might redeem the world from its sin. And thus, that baby that was born in Bethlehem is God who was clothed in flesh. He has come to earth for the purpose of revealing the truth of God unto man. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was light, and the light was the life of men. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed upon his name, who were born not by the will of the flesh or the will of man, but by God, born again by the Spirit of God. And so the Word became flesh, John tells us. He dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus said to Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Why is it then that you say, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Or believe for the very work's sake? For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And even greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. So Jesus is basically saying, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He is a true and accurate revelation to us of what God is like. And so in looking at Jesus, what do you see? Well, you see his compassion for man in need. As he goes around healing all manner of sicknesses. As you see him, you see the compassion that God has for those who are weak and are in need of help. You see him hanging on the cross, and he is manifesting to us God's love for us, that he might put away our sin in order that we might be able to have fellowship with God. So in seeing Jesus, we see the Father, and thus we are brought into a relationship with the Father. And that's the purpose of the coming of Jesus into our world. And so today, we pray that God might help us to see the truth about himself, to see him as he has revealed himself to us through his word. And God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believes is not condemned. He that doesn't believe, well, he's condemned already, seeing he hasn't believed in the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men would not come to the light because they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So that's God's assessment of you if you haven't come to Jesus Christ. He said the real reason is that your deeds are evil. You're an evil person, and you're just not interested in Jesus because of your evil heart. But God declares that he can change your heart, he can change your life, and he can make your life worth living because you can live in fellowship with him. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the true light who lights every man who has come into the world. And so, Lord, we pray that the light of the gospel might shine into the hearts of many here today. Perhaps they have built a wall against you. Perhaps, Lord, they have developed their own concepts, which are so wrong. Lord, may they come to know you in truth, which to know you is to have eternal life. And so, Father, move by your Holy Spirit in their lives today, and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. The pastors are down here at the front to pray for you who would like to receive Jesus Christ, the true and the living God, into your heart and life. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed upon his name. Today, you can begin a new life, a life of fellowship with God, a life of relationship with him. And we would encourage you, open your heart and let Jesus come in and transform your life. He'll do that for you, and he will cause you to understand real life and the real purpose of life, and that is living your life for the Lord. So may the Lord guide and direct you into his path. These men are down here to help you and to pray for you who would like to receive this life that God has promised to us through his Son. And so your opportunity, and we encourage you and pray for you that you might take advantage of it and enter into that new life that you can enjoy in and through Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So may this be your day that you make that decision and follow after Jesus Christ. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee,
and
and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.